This is Scott Becker with a special version of the Becker Private Equity, Becker Cannabis Podcast. We're joined by a special guest who's an investor, but has spent a lot of time with their family office in the cannabis space. We're with Alex Gascevich today. Alex, can you take a second to introduce yourself?
Hey, Scott. Sure. My name is Alexander Gascevich. I am vice president of The Gascevich Investments, which is a Chicago-based family office. We've been investing in real estate and private equity since the 90s. Starting in 2014, we saw an opportunity in the cannabis space, shifted our interest there, and have invested in several of the large multi-state operators that have gone public and recently have turned a focus to the tech and ancillary space in the cannabis space as well.
And take a moment and talk to us about what does a blue Congress, a blue Senate, a presidency mean for the cannabis business?
Sure. While many people expect legislative change to come quickly, we expect it to take longer than expected. The recent attack on the U.S. Capitol, COVID, and Relief for Americans all take precedent over advancing cannabis at a time like this. In addition, we think Congress likes to move the needle incrementally when it can. In the short term, we at VGI expect to see the Biden administration push FinCEN guidance and then the Obama-era Cole memo, which essentially gave cannabis companies the green light to operate in the states where there were legal medical and adult use programs. And we think this will give the industry and institutional investors comfort and confidence that they can operate their businesses without interference. We do expect institutional investors to start entering the industry and for a sort of bifurcation of capital access to continue to build and kind of lead to a fangification of the blue chip cannabis stocks. If you're familiar with the FANG stocks, Facebook, Amazon, they trade at large premiums and they're sort of rewarded for where they sit in their industries. And so there's probably about 10 multi-state operators in the U.S. space that are trading at these larger premiums. Six of these MSOs so far in this year, we're only 12 days into this year, have done essentially equity raises. And all of these companies have had strong balance sheets and are profitable or close to profitable. We think there's probably going to be a limited trickle-down effect of capital. And so cheap debt will go to the top operators, but the companies that are burning cash or have poor balance sheets will sort of continue to have to borrow at high rates. We can kind of see this. The top MSOs tend to borrow right now in the 10 to 15% range. In any other industry, that would be really high. But for cannabis, that's sort of the best right now. The poor operators, Acreage Holdings, for example, they borrow money at 60%, which is egregiously high. But given their sort of financial position, that's where they're at. And that's the reality of the situation that they're in. The other phenomenon that we expect to see is we expect to see the retail investor and institutional capital to begin rewarding the U.S. MSOs over the Canadian LPs. After the Georgia Senate runoffs, a lot of the Canadian LPs were up 15, 16, 17% without any prospect of entering the U.S. in the near term. The U.S. companies were up something like 10 to 12%. Since these Canadian companies are able to trade on major U.S. exchanges, they're essentially a proxy for these U.S. MSOs, even though they have no exposure in the U.S. And it will be difficult and costly for them to get exposure down the line with some type of legalization through the States Act or rescheduling, let's say, of cannabis. I think there's an example I frequently use to sort of illustrate where the U.S. MSOs are right now. When we look at a company like DraftKings, which is sort of operated historically in this illicit market, is converting to this licit market, kind of like the cannabis space in the U.S. They're trading on a U.S. exchange. And so in Q3, DraftKings did $133 million revenue, and they had a net loss of $350 million. And it trades at something like a $20 to $21 billion market cap. If you look at GTI, which is VGI's oldest portfolio company and our largest position, They did $157 million in revenue in Q3 and had positive net income of $9.6 million, and they're trading at a market cap of only $6.5 billion. So less than a third, and they're more profitable. And that shows really what's going to happen as the retail investor and institutional capital takes notice of what's going on in the U.S. cannabis space.
I mean, it's really a fabulous analog between the gambling companies and the cannabis companies. And fascinating how DraftKings, from being sort of an outlaw a few years ago, now you see their advertising show up everywhere on social media, and they feel like a regular company today, and the same evolution that's happening in the cannabis space. Alex, I appreciate you joining us greatly today. Great insight on some of these differences in markets. Would love to talk to you next week about some of the other trends you're seeing in cannabis, including doubling down on some of these trends you're seeing on the valuation of companies, the Canadian versus the U.S. exchanges, and so forth. And I share your prediction that things will move in Washington, but a little bit slower than maybe people would have hoped for in the cannabis business. Alex, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.